So today we have His Grace Keshwanand Prabhu. He is in Delhi and he will be speaking.
This conference is being recorded.
Keshwanand Prabhu has come on our conference call a couple of times before. He is a doctor by profession, but he is a full-time devotee. And he preaches in India and also abroad. He has written many books. And particularly he has preached to the youth of India, visiting universities. And also, while he is traveling, he is also visiting universities abroad and preaching Krishna consciousness. So I will hand over the call to His Grace Keshwanand Prabhu. He is a disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. So Keshwanand Prabhu, are you there on the call?
Yes, I am there, Hare Krishna. Accept my obeisances, all the devotees. Yeah.
Please take over.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, so all the devotees, thank you for listening today to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is very fortunate to hear Srimad Bhagavatam daily, decided in Srimad Bhagavatam itself. And today we are going to discuss 3rd canto, 9th chapter, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd verse, 3 verses in a row. I'm repeating first verse. I was requested to, because there are some things which we can talk in details, and there is some link between first, second, and third verse. Now this first verse, second verse, and third verse, they are spoken by Lord Brahma. So I'll recite this first verse now. And I'll explain that and then proceed to second and third verse gradually. Okay. So let me recite this first verse, 3rd canto, 9th chapter and first verse. O Vacha, devotees who have Bhagavatam, they can open their Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 9th chapter. This is, chapter's name is Brahma's Prayer for Creative Energy. I'm discussing presently first verse, and then proceed to second and third verse. Brahma O Vacha. ज्ञातो असि मे अद्य सुचिरान् ननु देह भाजान् न ज्ञातो गतिरिति अवद्यम् न तदस्ति भगवन् अपि तन्न शुद्धम् माया गुणा व्यतिकरात् यद् उर्भाषि. एंड प्रभुपाद राइट्स अ ट्रांसलेशन एज फॉलोस. लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सेड, ओ माय लॉर्ड, टुडे आफ्टर मेनी मेनी इयर्स ऑफ पेनेंस आई हैव कम टू नो अबाउट यू. ओ हाउ अनफॉर्चुनेट द एम्बॉडीड लिविंग एंटिटीज आर दैट personality. My Lord, you are the only knowable object because there is nothing supreme beyond. If there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not absolute. You exist as the supreme by exhibiting the creative energy of matter. I'll just start explaining the verse, and in my explanation I'll include Prabhupada's purports. Otherwise it will take a long time to read those purports. We have less time. Let me just start. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Kshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So, here, these are the prayers for Brahma to Krishna, to Vishnu, exactly, if we happen to be specific, before the creation took place. Brahmaji, he did penance for thousands and thousands of years, and then Krishna, Vishnu, he manifested himself in front of Brahma, his transcendental form. And Brahma is praying to Lord Vishnu. That is why this word Brahma Uvacha. So devotees who have Bhagavatam, they can see here this word Brahma Uvacha. Devotees who don't, they can relax and listen to Bhagavatam, but be alert. I'll explain the things. So Brahmaji, he speaks Brahma Uvacha. He says, if Brahma is saying, he is authority. Srila Prabhupada immediately brings this point in his purport. If Brahma is saying, we have to understand Lord through Brahma, because that's a parampara. And that is why this word Brahma Vacha is very important. That's why Vyasadev and Sukhdev Goswami have purposefully put these prayers by Lord Brahma in Srimad Bhagavatam. He is one of the Mahajan, you know, out of 12 authorities, he is one of the authority. And he starts, Gyato. Now he says to Vishnu, now imagine Vishnu has appeared in front of Lord Brahma. after so many years of penance, darkness, austerities, and loneliness. And suddenly, after meditation, Vishnu appears in front of him. There's a lot of effulgence, there's a lot of light. And we know by Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vishnu appeared in front of Brahma, he did a handshake with Lord Brahma. Prabhupada writes, handshake. And he says, Brahma, well done. And you have done a great job. And Brahma says, Gyato Asimhyadya. My Lord Vishnu, Gyato. Gyato is a word which Prabhupada translates as known. You are now, me means me, adya means now. Today you are known by me. Now this is important to understand because here Brahma is saying, Krishna, Vishnu, I was trying to know you. I was trying to understand you through metapasya. But today you are known to me. That means through your mercy, through your causeless mercy, you have manifested yourself in front of me. It is not that I, through my tapasya, have understood you. He doesn't take the credit for himself. He gives the credit to Krishna, to his mercy. Although previously, Lord Vishnu gives the credit to Brahmaji. Vishnu actually congratulates Lord Brahma. And Brahma, you are great. By your austerities, you have known me today. Your austerities are great. Your faith is great. But Brahmaji overturns this and gives all credit to Lord Vishnu. Gyato Asimadhyaya. Today, you are known by me. Srila Prabhupada translates this as, I have come to know about you. After many, many years of penance, I have come to know about you. See? So Brahma was doing penance, but he was not able to understand God. And today, Vishnu manifests himself in front of him. That is why Srila Prabhupada, recognizing the importance of this statement, Gyato Asimadhyaya, you are known by me today, or I have known you by your mercy. Prabhupada in purport mentions about the causeless mercy of Lord. Understanding this half statement of this verse of first line half statement, Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph purport, what is your Bhagavatam, they can read. First line, second paragraph, one can know supreme cause personality of Godhead by the causeless mercy of Lord, which is bestowed upon Lord's pure devotees like Brahma and his displic succession. But that of penance only was Lord Brahma able to see Lord Vishnu. So this is important. There is a particular message here. So Prabhupada says, okay, fine. Brahma says, Vishnu, by your mercy I have known you. So Vishnu might ask Brahma, let's start an interrogation between Brahma and Vishnu. You can't see the interrogation here, but let's start it. So Vishnu might ask Brahma, Brahmaji, when, by my mercy, you have known me, but you also, but it took a long time. After a long time, so much penance, and after a long time, you were able to know me. So, as if Lord Vishnu is asking, what is the cause of so much time? Why it took so much time? If it was my causeless mercy, through my causeless mercy, you mean, why didn't I manifest myself much before? Why you had to do long, long, many, many years of penance? Can you tell me the reason? So Brahmaji says, yes. Suchiran nanu. Suchiran means after a long time. Brahmaji says, yes. My dear Lord, it took long, long time. I was doing tapasya. And why it took long time? Because Brahmaji says, Deha Bhajam. Now this word is Deha Bhajam. It is repeated in Bhagavatam and especially in one of the favorite verses of Srila Prabhupada. Fifth canto, fifth chapter, first verse. Srila Prabhupada says there, it's a famous verse. Srila Prabhupada quotes that verse. That verse is spoken by Lord Rishabhdev. And he says, Nayam deho deha bhajam ninaloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye. So Rishabhdev says to the children, to Bharat Maharaj and all his sons, 100 sons, Rishabhdev says, my dear Bharat, so people people must take nayam devo deva bhajam. People in this material world, I don't consider them taking this material body as a very good action. The very fact that people in this material world has material bodies, that very fact is not truth. That very fact, not a so it's not a palatable fact. Nayam devo deva bhajam. People should not have taken material bodies, first of all, according to me. We'll think about other things after what they are doing in this world. According to me, they should not have taken material bodies. This material body is nonsense. Although it is useful in devotion, but it is a bad bargain. That's what Srila Prabhupada says in purports. Best use of bad bargain. But the fact they have taken this material body, that shows that there is some problem with them. There is some problem with them. They have done something nonsense in past. That's why they have this material body. And there, Rishabhdev says, Nayam Deo Deya Bhajam. He uses the same word, Deya Bhajam. So Brahmaji says, my dear Lord, it took lot of time, lot of tapasya to understand you. And you revealed to me after such a long time of tapasya. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Deya Bhajam. Bhajam means, Bhajam actually Sanskrit word. It means, actually it means eating. To eat. So he says, my dear Lord, why? Because I was eating this myself for a long time. I was eating this body. That's what Rishabhdev says. My dear sons, in this material world, people have material bodies. First of all, that's a first mistake. That's the first problem. They have this body. Next problem is, they're eating this body. Now, what do you mean by eating this body? We eat food. Well, how do you eat this body? Well, we also eat this body. Eating this body means we enjoy this body. So Brahmaji says, my dear Lord, it took a long time. I was doing tapasya. Why I was doing tapasya? To purify myself. Lord Vishnu said, why you wanted to purify yourself? Lord Brahma said, well, I had this tendency to enjoy my body, to enjoy my position as Lord Brahma, to enjoy my position as the most powerful person or the first person in the universe. There's nothing besides. And that's why it took a long time. Of course, this might not really be applicable to Lord Brahma, but Lord Brahma is talking about all of us putting himself in that position. And Lord Brahma says here, very important philosophical point. Everybody has to do some austerities in this world to understand God. God is merciful. He wants to reveal himself unto you, like Lord Vishnu wants to reveal himself to Lord Brahma, wanted to reveal, and he revealed himself in the end. But everybody has to do some tapasya for that. And that is why 5th canto, 5th chapter, 1st verse, Lord Rishabhdev says, there he continues in that verse, Nayam deho deha bhajam rana loke kashtan kamana ratan vidbhujam ye tapo divyam yena putra kasatvam. Lord Rishabhdev says, everybody has to do tapo divyam, austerity. Austerities people have to do. Although God is merciful, he wants to meet us. Now he wants to meet you. Delay is not from his part. Delay is from our part. We are delaying. And that is why Lord Brahma, he showed through his pastimes. Well, he delayed after many, many long years of penance. Why? Because we are delaying the manifestation of Lord Krishna. We are stopping him to come to us. There is a problem in us. The day we understand there is a problem in us, that day our problems will start dwindling and vanishing. That's the root cause of our problem. And the problem is Deya Bhajam. We are eating this body. We are trying to enjoy this body. Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 33rd verse, Yes, yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjitam. Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, liberated souls, whatever they do their work, whatever activity they undertake without kama sankalpa varjitam, without any desire for their own sense gratification. Kama sankalp. Sankalp means determination, their only determination to initiate any action is my pleasure solely. But in this material world, deha bhajam, people who eat their bodies, their only motive, their only inspiration to do any action in this world, maybe big actions like making palaces, earning money, billionaire, trillionaire, or small actions like eating food, opening a switch of a fan, opening the light, sitting on a chair. Every action from small to big, from tiny to large, all actions from subtle to gross, all actions are inspired by their sense gratification. And if you think about it, we are all chanting. We are all doing tapasya like Lord Brahma, according to parampara. But we are not able to Krishna, neither of us, neither in front of us, face to face like Lord Brahma did, nor in our heart, nor in holy name. Lord Krishna is supposed to manifest in his holy name. Naam, Rupa, Gun, Leela, that's a process. But what we are not able to do, in spite of so much chanting and all these things. Why? What's the problem? Is there any problem in chanting? No. Is there any problem in Krishna? No. Krishna hates us? No. We hate Krishna? Yes. So, we hate Krishna. And now, we love him also, because otherwise we will not do any kind of devotion. If you won't have any love for Krishna, you would not have been on this conference call, first of all, listening to Bhagavatam. We have love, but we also have some kind of hate and envy for Krishna. And that is manifested through this word, Deha Bhajam. And that's what Brahma says. I had this problem, my dear Lord Krishna. That's why it took lot of time. People of this material world, they have this problem on a gross platform. Sex, lust, anger, greed, etc. I had this on subtle platform. I was thinking, I'm the first living entity. There's none besides me here. I was thinking that. And now I got relieved of this. And today, by your causeless mercy, gyato asi adya, today, adya means today, I have known you by your mercy. And Prabhupada exactly translates and he explains this line in his purport. This line Prabhupada explains. And Prabhupada says in his third paragraph to this purport, foolish human beings do not endeavor to investigate the supreme beauty and opulence of Lord are condemned here by Brahma. Prabhupada gives the example of crows and ducks. So people who are deha bhajam, who are eating their bodies day and night, who are trying to enjoy their bodies, they are like crows. They are in garbage. They are trying to enjoy this material world. And what happens to them? Na gyataye bhagavato gatir. They never, na gyayate means they don't try to know bhagavato gatir. Bhagavato gatir means the course of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gati means course. Prabhupada translates as course. You can see word for word meaning. But, so that means the actions. Gati means actions. Gati means destination, end, goal, action. That means gati. So they don't try to understand the actions of Supreme Lord. That's the problem. People who are on bodily platform, if you try to counsel them, if you try to advise them, neither by their own effort, neither by the efforts of other, they will try to understand God. They will pass excuses. That's all. And that is why Prabhupada says in third paragraph of first line, Prabhupada says, foolish human beings. Now, foolish human beings, Prabhupada is translating that word, deha bhajam. People who is foolish, who is eating their own body through sense gratification, who do not endeavor to investigate supreme beauty and opulence of Lord, are condemned by Brahma. See? So, they don't investigate in supreme beauty and opulence. So Prabhupada translates this word as gyayate, na gyayate bhagavato gatir. This is the second line of the Sanskrit verse, or 391. Na gyayate bhagavato. They don't try to know. Prabhupada explains us investigate. They don't try to investigate. They don't try to search. They might have heard about God somewhere here and there, somewhere. Everybody hears about God in this material world. Even atheist hears about God. But the problem with them is they don't try to investigate in Bhagavato Gathir, in the supreme opulence and beauty of God, in His actions, in form of this world, in this material world, which is about to take place. Creation is not yet taken place. Brahma is praying. They don't try to understand everything. In spite of so beautiful creation in front of them, they don't try to understand if creation is so beautiful, how beautiful the creator will be. This is investigation. So by observing this world, by observing themselves, they don't try to understand who is a painter, who is an artist, who is a creator behind. No investigation. They assume, they are biased, that there is no God. You see all these scientists, what they say. So I was reading one interview by a scientist, and he was saying, since I am a scientist, there is no question of God in our theories. Now this is funny. There's no question of God. Since I am a scientist, there's no question of God. This is nonsense. Since you're a scientist, you should be open to the possibility of existence of God or not. Why you're biased? So no investigation. The more educated you become, the more trained you become in education, the more you stop your investigation. Ordinary people, they don't investigate in God because of they don't investigate about Bhagavad Gati because of their laziness. Mandasu mandamati. And educated people, they don't investigate about God because of their training. That's why Prabhupada says, in first paragraph, Prabhupada says, the most stalwart scientists and philosophers, first paragraph, third last sentence, in the purport to this verse, most stalwart scientists and philosophers therefore cannot be accepted as wonderful. Prabhupada criticizes scientists and philosophers in his purport specifically. Why? Because ordinary people, they are convinced that the aim of life is to enjoy this life. They are bhajam. Aim of life is to enjoy bodies. That's all. So who cares? I don't want to investigate. Even if God is there, I don't want to investigate. They're convinced. But they are convinced, ordinary people. But scientists and philosophers, and stalwart scientists and philosophers, that's what Prabhupada said. This is very important. They are trained. Ordinary people are convinced that they have to enjoy this life. Scientists are trained that you should not include God in your theories, even if there is a possibility. Since you are a scientist, since you are a philosopher, there is no possibility of God in my theory. Now, that's why Prabhupada, actually, if you link Sanskrit verses to the purport, to Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada is writing each and every line, meditating on each and every word of this verse. He's not writing, every sentence of Prabhupada has some meaning with a word of this verse. Why he's writing? So that's why Prabhupada translates as Na gyayate bhagavato gatir in his third paragraph. They don't try to know the actions of Supreme Lord, beautiful and wonderful actions. And they don't try to investigate. Who doesn't try to investigate? Ordinary people out of conviction, and scientists and philosophers out of training. They're trained not to accept God. Now, as a Vishnu asks Lord Brahma, now tell me, this is nice, this is good phrase, but tell me, why they don't want to know me? Why people are so convinced? Why people are so obstinate? People are on bodily platform. They're enjoying. Okay, and this, you also understand this. But if you explain them, why will not they accept? What's the problem? Maybe you're not a good preacher. You can't explain. Even if you're a good preacher, it's experience that people don't accept easily. In fact, scientists and philosophers, they will never accept, because right in their proposition to all their theories, there's a sentence, since I am a scientist, there's no God. There's no need of God. There's no role of God. So they will not accept. why people do not accept. And Brahmaji says this word avadhyam. He uses this word avadhyam to answer this question. Avadhyam means great offense. They have done an offense at a lotus feet. And this is important here. This is important for them. This is important for us. And what offense they have done? Well, the offense they have done is that Prabhupada writes in his purport to in the first paragraph, last line, under illusion, general mass of people deny the existence of Supreme Lord and accept foolish products of illusory energy as supreme. This offense they have done. Because they are bhajam, because they take their bodies as whole and soul, as supreme cause of everything, their own plans, their own empire, and because they think they are this body, that is why under this illusion, they do offense. They don't accept you as supreme cause. This is an offense. And that's what Rishabhdev says. Rishabhdev says in his that verse I was quoting, fifth canto, fifth verse, fifth chapter, first verse, Nayam Deo Deo Bhajam, same word is used, Budeya Bhajam. Rishabhdev says, my dear sons, I think you should not have taken this material body, first of all, that's a problem. You are my children, that's nice, you're born of me, but sorry, I'm very, very sorry that you have taken these bodies, you're born of me, sorry for that. But you are born, it's not my fault, it's your fault, it is your offense. And what's the offense? Offense is that you the main offense is that you want to enjoy this body, you want to deny the existence of Supreme Lord. That's the offense they are doing. And that is why even if you explain them, they'll not understand. They deny. That is the root problem. That's the offense. They want to enjoy the illusory products of Lord and want to deny Supreme Cause. They think they are the Supreme Cause. Now, this is what Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, where there's a discussion between Nini Maharaj and Vipalayan and all these people. Yogendra is happening. There also, there's a verse, Bhayam Dvitiya Bhinivesha Syat Isha Dapitasya Vipareya Usmiti. This verse comes, famous verse. Why people are in this illusion, in this Maya? Bhayam Dvitiya Bhinivesha Syat Bhayam Dvitiya Bhinivesha. Because they don't accept God as Supreme Cause. They accept themselves as Supreme Cause, as cause of everything. So this shows for us, what is for us in this verse? What Brahmaji wants to convey to us? He wants to convey to us that we all have done an offense. And the offense is that we want to enjoy these bodies. This is the offense. And why we want to enjoy these bodies? Why we are forced to enjoy these bodies? Why we are in this illusion? Because we don't want to accept that God is a supreme cause of everything. We don't want to accept that. And that is what Vishnu says. Vishnu asks, okay, they have done offense. Why? That's okay. What kind of offense they have done? Brahmaji speaks the next line. This paragraph, third line. Na anyatto dasti bhagavan api. My Lord, there is nothing besides you. There's nothing besides you. Anything, there's none beyond you. But they don't accept it. They don't accept there's nothing beyond you. Either they think you are also a cause of some higher product, a higher authority. You are also not supreme cause. Or they don't accept you as cause at all. That Prabhupada starts this purport, first line, by this statement. Highest peak of ignorance of living entities who are conditioned by material bodies, that who have material body in them, they have bhajam, is that they are unaware of supreme cause of cosmic manifestation. Different people have different theories regarding the supreme cause. See, different theories. They are done no offense. By speculating so many ideas, so many theories, nonsense theories, if you go to a prime minister and you tell, my dear prime minister, actually you are not the prime minister and there is somebody else controlling you. You are a puppet. Isn't it offense? It's blatant in the face. He's actually criticizing Prime Minister in his face. That's all. By having this stupid idea. And these kind of people, he'll be put in jail. It's a revolt. That's all. It is a blasphemy. So these theories, different people have different theories regarding Supreme Court. But none of them are genuine. So many people have their own ideas. Well, God is there's some other source of God. My dear God, actually, you're God, but there's another cause for you. In other words, they're trying to say you are a puppet in that cause, in the hands of that superior cause. It's a blasphemy. So they are blaspheming. This is the point. They are blaspheming God by their stupid theories. Those theories in philosophy, and that's why Prabhupada says most stalwart scientists and philosophers. Prabhupada brings philosophers in this, in his purport, because philosophers have so many theories. Although those theories look very nice and very sophisticated, okay, cause and effect, there's no cause, and all this they discuss, but it's a blasphemy in a very sophisticated way. That's all, finish. So all these educated people, so-called, not all, but they blaspheme God in a sophisticated way. Common people blaspheme God in a very common way, by their ideas. I believe that. Well, what do you believe? Forget your belief. That's a blasphemy. So, nanya todasti Bhagwan. That's where Brahma adds this line. They have done this offense that they consider something else besides you. There's something, some other cause. But according to me, Brahma says, now I have understood. Now, I was also thinking like that. That's why it took a lot of time for you to reveal yourself in front of me. I was also in bodily concept of life. And what kind of bodily concept of life? I was thinking that there is no supreme cause initially. And then I tried to search and all those things. You read this third canto. Then Brahmaji tried to search. Is there any other cause besides me? He got in his loneliness, in his wilderness. He got afraid. And then he was searching. And then he was doing tapasya. And he didn't know who else is besides him. And then, by the mercy of Lord, he realized that, well, there is some supreme cause behind me. Yes. And the moment he realized this, Vishnu appeared in front of Lord Brahma. That is why Lord Brahma has this line. Na anya tvadasti Bhagavan. There is nothing besides you. Okay, well, so that's, there's nothing besides me. Vishnu says, well, this is nice point, Brahma. There's nothing besides me. But there's one question. And Lord Vishnu, as if he asked Brahma, Brahma, now tell me, there's nothing besides me. The creation you're going to do, that is also a part of me, because there's nothing besides me. You're also part of me. Everything is part of me. Spiritual world is also part of me. So if material world is a part of me, then I am not Shuddha, then I am impure, because these material things are part of me. I am supposed to be entirely spiritual being. And that concept Brahmaji will bring in the next two verses. So he says, well, Brahmaji says, yes, that's the point. And that's why Brahmaji says, okay, Vishnu, I have an answer for this. Api tanna shuddham. Lord Vishnu, yes, there's nothing besides you. Yes, I know. But although everything is within you, a part of you, your energy, but still shuddham, but still you are pure. Still you are absolute. Although everything is connected with you, still you are absolute. Still you don't become impure. And that is where Prabhupada writes in his purport. You are the only knowable object because there is nothing supreme beyond you. If there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not absolute. So api tanna shuddham. Anything disconnected from you becomes impure. Anything connected with you becomes pure immediately. So it depends. So everything is connected to Lord. But Brahmaji is bringing a very important philosophical issue here. Brahmaji is saying that people who are on the bodily concept of life, who think that there is no cause beyond themselves, God is not there, who do not investigate into the actions of Lord, to their sense gratification, involvement, them, everything is ashuddha because they see everything disconnected from absolute. But today I have realized that nothing is disconnected from you. Everything that is connected to you is pure. This material energy, it looks impure to those people. To those people who think that they are the supreme cause, who do not accept you as absolute, who disconnect this material energy from you, do not see your hand behind this material energy, to them this material energy looks impure. But to people who see everything connected to you, who see that there is nothing supreme beyond you, there's nothing besides you, everything is your energy, everything is connected to you, for them you and all your energy is ashuddha. So he's bringing the concept of maya here, illusion. Lord Brahma is saying, we have all heard that verse. What is maya? Second canto, 9th chapter, 34th verse. Lord Brahma says there, rite artham yat pratiyete na pratiyete cha atmani tad vidyad atmano mayam yatha bhasu yatathama. Brahma ji says, rite artham yat pratiyete, anything which appears to be valuable, which is not connected to you, is illusion. This vision that this thing is valuable, this thing is important, this thing is truth, this thing is pure, and you don't see God behind this object, you don't see the link of God with this object, this vision, this perception is illusion. Brahmaji says, Rite arthamat pratiyete na pratiyete cha atmani. Anything you can yourself, that vision, that kind of intelligence is illusion. And anything which is connected to God, if you see everything connected to God, that kind of vision is absolute truth. That's why Brahma speaks, api tanna shuddham. Lord, my Lord, nothing which is not connected with you, anything which is not connected with you is not pure, this impure. People are not connected with you through their consciousness. They are bhajam. People are on bodily concept of life. They have done this offense. What offense they have done? First of all, they don't accept you as supreme. Na anyatvadasti bhagavan. Na tanna shuddham. And neither their consciousness is connected with you. Accept you and their consciousness is not connected with you. But for devotees, they accept God as supreme and their consciousness is connected with supreme in his devotional service. So Brahmaji brings this point. This offense point here. What offense we have done? This is the offense we have done. Dvitiya Abhinivesh. This is technically called in Bhagavatam 11th canto, Dvitiya Abhinivesh. This is the offense we have done. Dvitiya. We have separated ourselves from God. God has not separated us from Him. We have, by our own stupid ideas, by our own stupid theories, by our own stupid philosophies, by our own stupid training, education, in quotes, and by our own stupid mentality of seeing, of in a habit of seeing everything connected to ourselves and not with God or not with anything beyond us. These are two offenses we have done. Two offenses. And because of these offense, we don't investigate in God. We don't investigate Bhagavad Gati, who is God, what is his actions. And because we don't investigate the actions of wonderful actions of God, we are involved. We are just involved in our own bodies, eating our own bodies, deha bhajam. And that is why it takes long time, keep on chanting, we're doing devotional service, and it takes long time for Krishna, for God to bestow his mercy on us. Vishnu Krishna, he's unhappy. He's trying to give his mercy to us. He wants to. He's so eager. But we, because of our own stupidity, of our own, our whole inspiration of all activities is our own desire to enjoy deha bhajam, and that is why Krishna says, fine, if you're interested in yourself, why should I reveal myself unto you? That's all. It's a simple logical point. Why should he come in front of you if you're interested in yourself? And even if he comes in front of you now, and if suppose in between this conference call Krishna manifests himself to all of us, suddenly he's sitting beside you, Well, you will say, okay, Krishna, that's nice, but it's nice, good, and you will welcome him and everything. And after an hour or so, you'll tell him, well, Krishna, I'm a job, you know, I have to go. And you hang on, I'll just come in the evening. You eat something or do whatever you want. I don't know what we are going to do, but definitely we are going to do something crazy and bizarre with him. Because we are not pure devotees, we are interested in ourselves. And in fact, daily we are doing something bizarre. We are chanting his holy name. And while we are chanting his most pure, transcendental holy name, he is within this his holy name. He is his holy name. Still, we are thinking something else. Isn't this the same thing what Brahmaji is saying? Deva Bhajam, we are interested in ourselves. If we can't focus on God's name, how can you expect God to manifest himself in front of you? It was such a simple thing we can't do. So it needs training. It needs practice. So Brahmaji says all these things. But Vishnu has another question. Vishnu says, my dear Lord Brahma, that's fine enough. Now tell me, you say, okay, fine, everything is pure. That's fine enough. But there is the point. If you say my material energy is pure, everything is pure, everything, anything connected to me is pure, I know. Everything is connected to me, I know. So everything is absolute, yes. But this material energy, it keeps on changing. Any change is not permanent. That's temporary. Any change is, if material energy is changing, and if I am connected to this material energy, then this means I will also change. So cause and effect. So Krishna says, my dear Lord Brahma, you are about to do creation. Your prayers are nice, but you are about to do creation. And the power to create, I will give you this material world. Now, if I give you the power to create this material world, then this means I am going to think about this material world, about this material energy, and so many things. So I will get involved in this, isn't it? And do you think I get involved in this activity of this material world? Fine, everything is connected to me, but do you think I get involved in all these things and I waste my time? I want to enjoy. I enjoy my spiritual world. I am the supreme autocrat. Do you think I spend some energy, some time in creation? Do I become tired by planning how to create and giving a plan to you, and then you are creating, and after creation is done, I myself enter in this creation and help you to move this creation? So well, it seems that I will become so tired in creation. So bye bye. I am not giving you any power to create. I don't want to become tired. I don't want to go in so much mess of this creation. You first create, then there are so many problems. There are dualities. There are demons. There are demigods. It's such a messed up thing. So goodbye. Thank you very much. Have my darshan and bye bye. So Lord Brahma says the last line of this paragraph. He says, Brahmaji says, my dear Lord Vishnu, Brahmaji anticipates this, and Brahmaji maybe, and he says, my dear Lord Vishnu, maya gun vyati karat yad urur vibhashi. My dear Lord, maya gun vyati karat. Vyati karat, Prabhupada translates as, because of mixed modes, you are beyond. Vibhashi means, uru means transcendental. You are beyond this material creation. You're beyond. You might give a plan to me. You might help me in this creation at every moment. Sarge visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya, second canto, 9th chapter, 1st verse, 2nd verse. You, at every step, your mercy is needed to create. Your involvement is required. In spite of your involvement in creation, right from this point, which is starting of creation, to the end of creation, you are involved at every step as time factor, as energies in this material world, but still you are transcendental to all these things. My dear Lord, you help me. I want to create. Yes, I want to create. It's my desire to create. But you help me and be assured that you will not become tired and you will not get involved in the mess of the creation. Be assured. Why? So Lord Vishnu says, how come you are assuring me? You are nothing in front of me. What kind of assurance you are giving? Brahmaji says, no, I am giving you assurance because your nature is like that. You are like that. I don't have to give you assurance. But I'm speaking, I'm glorifying you. I'm not giving you assurance. I'm glorifying you that Maya Guna Bhatirakarad Yad Urur Vibhashi, that you are beyond the mess of this material world. Although this material world, you need so much plans, so much things, so much bizarre things are going on, upside down, dualities, and so many problems, so many demons are coming, and so many problems. Brahmaji is always in fear. Demigods are always going to Lord Vishnu for help. So Brahmaji says, these things will happen, but still you are transcendental to all this. This is your power. That is your beauty. So you help me in creation. Anyway, creation is your desire. And just like a spider, he makes his web. And still, and the web, the spider moves in his web freely. But the insects, they get stuck into that web. Similarly, Krishna makes this material world. It's like a web. It's like Maya, Guna Vyati Karad. It's like a network of Maya. But he's like a spider. It's his own web. He walks in that web freely. He comes and goes. But other living entities, they get stuck in this. This is an example given in Upanishads. Maya Guna Vyati Karad Yad Urur Vibhashi. So this is how Lord Brahma glorifies Lord Vishnu. And after glorifying this, Vishnu has a question. Vishnu says, Brahma, this is nice, good, very nice. But the question is now that the form which I have revealed myself in front of you, is it material or spiritual? You're seeing my form after a long time and you praised my form. You just now praised my form. I'm seeing you after a long time by your causeless mercy. Now, is this form material or spiritual? Is this form worth knowing or not? That's the question. I have revealed my form unto you. Well, somebody might say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal in that? God has revealed his form in front of us. What's the big deal? So, that's what the question Vishnu is asking Brahma, as if, what's the big deal I have come in front of you? That's the point. What's the big deal? Okay, I have understood my activities, this, that, and all this. But what's the big deal? Can you explain this to me? In answer to this question, what is a big deal that God has revealed himself unto us? Brahmaji speaks the next two verses, text 2 and text 3. And perhaps this is the question Krishna might be asked us when he will reveal himself unto us. What is a big deal, my dear devotee, that I have come in front of you? And you should be ready with that answer. So with some answer, of course, you have to answer God, no? You have to answer something.
You have to answer God.
So, if you don't answer, then Krishna will say, okay, goodbye. Well, I was just checking you. You have not read Bhagavatam. So, bye-bye. I'm going meet you again. That's fine. We have to read Bhagavatam. We have to be ready with these answers. That we can properly glorify Lord when he comes to us, when he reveals himself to us, like Lord Brahma is glorifying. That is why these prayers are there. These prayers are there not just to tell us some philosophy. That's one of the main points, philosophy. Brahmaji is speaking so much philosophy we just discussed. So that it helps us to purify us. And also it helps us that after being purified, we are ready to meet Krishna face to face. We are ready to meet Krishna face to face. That's what we have to learn from this first verse of Lord Brahma. It is deep prayers. And of course, it takes a lot of time. And we have, I wanted to discuss text 2 and text 3, but I don't know. There's not time, perhaps. I don't know. Prabhupada Govind Prabhu, is time over or what?
Prabhuji, please continue, Prabhuji. 8:30, you can continue and then we can leave another 15 minutes for question.
So how much time is left till 8:30? I'm in India, so I can't.
15 minutes.
Okay, fine. So I can cover. Yeah, thank you. So Lord Vishnu asked Brahma, so now tell me, what is the big deal? What is the big deal? I have revealed my form to you. Then in answer to this question, Brahmaji, he speaks next two verses, text 2 and text 3. This is the answer to his question. What is the big deal that God has revealed himself unto us? Brahmaji, now in text 2, text 3, he's glorifying the form of Lord in answer to this question. What is the big deal that I have revealed himself unto you? So as if somebody comes to you and he shows you a diamond and you see and you say, oh, so nice diamond, my God, it's such good. And that person asks, so what is the big deal about this diamond? It's a stone. And in answer to this question, you will try to give the qualities, you will try to speak some qualities about diamond, no? Okay, diamond is so rare, and yeah, it's a stone, but it is a stone, of course it's a stone, but it's so rare, and it is used in crowns and whatever, blah, blah, blah. So similarly, when Krishna asks, what is the big deal I've revealed myself in front of you? Brahmaji, it now glorifies the form of Lord. Text 2, text 3 are about the glorification of form of Lord. And Lord Brahma says, Rupam yad etad avabodha rasodayane. Lord Brahmaji says, my dear Lord, Rupam yad etad. Rupam, he starts with Rupam. See this word, Rupam. Text 2, I'll read text 2, this verse, Sanskrit verse, and then we'll discuss. 3, 3rd canto, 9th chapter, 2nd verse, Brahmaji is speaking in glorification of Lord Vishnu. Rupam yad etad avabodha rasodayane. Shashvad nivritta tamasa sadanugrahaya. Adau grahitam avatar shatai kabijam yannabi padma bhavanad aham avirasam. So Brahmaji says, my Lord, rupam yad etat, this form, so I'm reading 3rd canto, 9th chapter, 2nd verse. If devotees have not come to this verse, please switch on to this verse. Brahmaji says, rupam yad etat, this form which you have revealed in front of me, yat etat, yat means which, etat means that, or this, that means that form, or this form, which you have revealed unto me, it is beautiful, it is beyond comparison. So Vishnu asks, okay, nice, this is nice, beyond comparison, but what is so special in my form, tell me. So God, Vishnu knows what is so special in him. Vishnu is not like a diamond, a dead stone, he knows what is so special in him. But he wants to hear from his devotees. This is what these two verses are bringing up this point. Krishna wants to hear his glorification from his devotees. He likes to hear his own qualities. Now, he's not egoistic. He doesn't want a flattery. But he likes to hear. So just like a beloved, she wants to hear her lover glorify her, isn't it? So sometimes the girlfriends, they say to boyfriends, please glorify me, tell something about me, and the like. So this similar psychology is there in Krishna. He likes when people who are surrendered to him, people, they glorify his own qualities, they make him listen about himself, although he knows everything. So that's beautiful. But of course, that's not selfishness, as in this material world, as a relation between beloved and the lover. He wants to hear from his devotees his own qualities because he knows that will benefit all of us. The more we glorify him, the more pure we'll become. And that's what Brahma is training us in these two verses, how to glorify the form of Lord, so that later when we are sitting somewhere in the chair, somewhere in the airport, somewhere in the bench, somewhere in the office, we can close our eyes, remember these two verses, each word, and glorify Lord in our heart, not just in our heart, every moment, every second, walking, talking. That kind of training we need. Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, in his 10th canto, what Yashodama is doing, what gopis are doing. They're glorifying Lord day after day, moment after moment. They composed songs about Krishna, Brajvasis, and they were singing those songs audibly on their mind. This is devotion. Devotion is easy, provided we practice it. Devotion is easy, but practice is difficult. That's said by Prabhupada. Not exact quotes, but I think this is almost what Prabhupada said, the essence of that quote. So, Rupam Yadetat. So Krishna says, okay, what is so special? Tell me. I am so excited to hear from you. Brahmaji says, Avabodha Rasodayane. Brahmaji says, Avabodha Rasodayane. These two words are important. Avabodha Udayane. And Prabhupada, right, in his purport, explains this point. In his purport, last two lines, Prabhupada explains, therefore, spiritual nature is called avabodh rasa. Avarodh, avabodh or avarodh means that which completely nullifies. In transcendence, there is no chance of transcendental contact by any means. So first Brahma says, avabodh rasa udayane. So in Hindi, Uday means, if people know Hindi, Uday means manifest. So Krishna, Brahmaji says, my dear Lord, your form is manifested, avabodh rasa is manifested from Ananda. So your form is manifested from rasa. Rasa means mellows. Mellows, it is happiness, just happiness, intense enjoyment. This is your form. Your form is not made of matter. Your form is made of rasa. This is amazing point. Your form is made of your own internal potency. That's what Prabhupada writes, avabodh rasa. Internal potency means that internal potency is rasa. That's what is internal potency. You know, internal potency is Radha or Lakshmi. Lakshmi is embodiment of rasa of Lord. Just like devotees are Krishna Kripa Murti, internal potency is Krishna Rasa Murti. And that is where Prabhupada translates avabodh rasa as internal potency. Now you might think literal translation is maybe something else. A literal translation of avabodh rasa will mean as through transcendental mellows. But Prabhupada translates as internal potency, and all the acharyas are doing like that. So Prabhupada is intelligent. Prabhupada knows what he's doing. So because internal potency is manifestation of rasa, Krishna rasa murti. That is why Prabhupada says Krishna manifests through his internal potency. His form is made of pure enjoyment. And then Brahmaji says, Shashvat Nivritta Tamasa. So Vishnu asks, okay, I'm made of pure enjoyment. Is there any contamination in my form? Contamination in regards to sorrow, sadness, frustration, any bad qualities in me? Is there any bad qualities in me? You say, I am pure enjoyment, pure auspiciousness. Rasa also means auspiciousness. I am wonderful and auspicious, my form, for everybody. Is there any contamination? Brahmaji says, Shashvat Nivritta Tamasa. No. Brahmaji says, you Nivritta Tamasa. Shashvat means eternally Nivritta Tamasa. You are Nivrit means free from, Tamasa means contamination, Prabhupada says. You are free from any contamination. Free from material contamination means you don't have any bad qualities. You don't have any negativity in American terms or in modern terms. You just have positivity, but of course that's a spiritual positivity. You have all kalyan maika guna, all auspicious qualities. Nivritta tamasa, there's nothing impure in you. So Krishna says, okay, fine, that's fine. I like that. So Brahmaji, tell me why I manifest my form in front of my devotees. This form, why manifest? Why I manifested in front of you this form? Brahmaji says, yes, I know the answer. Sad anugrahaya. Sad anugrahaya means material for the sake of devotees. You have manifested this beautiful, auspicious, wonderful form to bestow your mercy on your devotees. And that's what Prabhupada writes in his purport. That devotees, the incarnations of Vishnu appear at different ages, time, and never compared to conditioned souls. And then why they manifest? Yadanugrahaya, to show mercy, Prabhupada writes in translation, has advented to show mercy to devotees. Prabhupada includes in his translation. Sadanugrahaya. So Krishna manifests himself to show mercy to his devotees. That is his idea. Not for himself. Sadanugrahaya. And he manifests not only self. Then Brahmaji says, Adau Grahitam Avatara Shataika Bijam. My dear Lord, you don't only manifest yourself, but you manifest so many incarnations. So Vishnu says, okay, Brahma, I have manifested in front of you, but what about others? who will, after you create, there will be so many people. Will I manifest myself? Myself, Brahmaji says, yes. Adav, you are the original person. Avtara Shataika Bijam, you will manifest yourself. Shataika means hundreds and thousands of Bijam means cause. Avtar means incarnations. You are the original cause of so many incarnations. And why you will do so many pastimes? In form of Leela Avtar, in form of Yuga Avtar, of Man Mantra Avtar, in form of Shakti Avesh Avtar, in form of Avesh Avtar, so many Avtar, in form of Purusha Avtar. You will do so many pastimes, so many things. Why? Just Sad Anugraha, just for mercy. By this we understand, Lord Brahma is glorifying the form of Lord. Lord Brahma says, first point, Avabodharasa, form of Lord is just full of enjoyment, rasa. No bad qualities, no contamination. First thing about form, first quality. Second quality, Sad Anugraha. His form is filled with mercy. His form is not only rasa, his form is anugraha also. His body, people will ask, what is the substance with the body? Our body is made of matter, but what about God? Okay, the body of Suryadev is made of sunlight, is made of fire. Body of moon is made of water. The body of demigods is made of sound or whatever. The body of Brahma is made of sound. But what about the body of God? Yes, the form of God, Lord Brahma is saying, Rupam, it is made of rasa and mercy, Sad Anugraha. And then, of course, and Prabhupada brings this point in his purport that three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, first executive heads of three modes of nature, are all generated from Garbhodaksha Vishnu, who is described herein by Brahma. Shirodaksha Vishnu expanded different ages in the duration of cosmic manifestation. They are expanded only for transcendental happiness of the devotees. And then Lord Vishnu says, fine, my dear Brahma, all incarnations come from me. All the incarnations after creation will come from me. But how can you prove that they'll come from me? Maybe not. Maybe they are independent. Brahmaji says, no. Yannabhi padma bhavanadaham abhirisham. I am produced from your navel lotus feet. From your navel lotus flower. Prabhupada translates as Nabhi means navel, Padma means lotus, Bhavanad means I have manifested. Incarnation is the origin of many other incarnations, and I am born from lotus, grown from a navel home. So I am the evidence. Since I am born of you, and this is the first evidence you have given, I am one of the Guna Avtar. I am first incarnation of you. As an avatar, Brahmaji is Guna avatar. Guna avatar is Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu. That's what Prabhupada starts his purport as. So there are many kind of avatars. One is Guna avatar. Brahmaji is infested with specific guna, with mode of passion of Lord Vishnu. And since I am the evidence, the first incarnation, how can we deny that all other incarnations will not come from me? So Lord Vishnu says, yeah, good, that's nice, Brahma. Now please continue. I'm very excited to hear more. And Brahmaji says in the third verse, I'll do it quickly. Nataha param param yad bhavata sarupa. Andamatram avikalpa vidya varchaha. Pashyami vishva srijam ekam avishvam atman bhutendriyatmakam adasta upashrita. So Brahma Krishna Vishnu says, this is 3:9, 3rd canto, 9th chapter, 3rd verse. I'm reading there now. And Brahma Vishnu says, anything else about my form? Yes, I'm very happy. Tell me. Brahmaji continues. Nataha param param yad bhavata sarupa. There is nothing beyond your form. Param param. It is supreme. There is nothing beyond your form. It is supreme. And everything is partial manifestation of you. So Krishna says, nice. Anything else? I am supreme. If you talk about me as supreme, that's nice. I like that. But not much. Supreme and all this. These are Aishwarya. Anything madhure? Anything sweetness? Ananda matram, Brahmaji says, second line of Sanskrit verse. Oh, you are sweet. You are Ananda matram. You are sweet. So Brahmaji glorifies his form from the perspective of Aishwarya, and then madhure, Ananda matram, and then avikalpam, Prabhupada translates as without change. It is without change. Without change means it doesn't. Kalpam means creation, Abhikalpam means no creation. Without creation, without change. Kalpam means change. Kalpana, imagination, without change. It is not imagination, it is truth. and with the varcha. So Vishnu says, fine, I have so many, I have truth, I have effulgence, I have sweetness, I have power. Will it not finish by time? With time? Will it not dwindle by with time? Brahmaji says, no, avidya varcha. Avidya varcha means without deterioration of potency. It will never deteriorate. It is eternal. So Vishnu says, fine, I am like that, you have glorified. Is there anyone else besides me who is like that? Maybe somebody is there. Maybe somebody is there. So how do you and there are many powerful beings who might look like Lord Krishna, like Lord Vishnu, Ananda Mataram, Abhikalpam, Avidya Varcha. Maybe somebody, maybe is very powerful being may look like me. So what is so unique in me? All these things are, what is so unique by which you can identify me as me? Brahmaji says, Pashyami Vishvasrijam Ekam Avishvam. Pashyami Vishvasrijam. I see Vishvasrijam Ekam. Ekam means only you. Vishvasrijam, you are the only creator of this material world. Anybody else can claim himself to be Ananda Mataram, Avikalpam, Avidya Varcha, all these rasa and all these things. They can claim, anybody can claim, but they can't claim Vishvasrijam. They have created this material world. This is the unique quality of God. That is why Vedanta Sutra begins Janmadhyasyata, Bhagavatam begins Janmadhyasyata. The only distinguishing point between everybody and God is that he is a God. And then Brahmaji says, Avishvam, although you create Avishvam, you are, so Avishvam means you create, but still you don't create Avishvam. You don't entangle in this creation. It's the same point there. You are unique in this creation. You create everything, but you're unique. Still you're unique. Bhutendriyatmakam adasna to upashritasmi. And I, Bhutendriyatmakam adah, I who identify, who am proud of my material body and senses, the same point which we were discussing in the first verse. Brahmaji in humility speaks, still after doing so much, reveal yourself to me. I am proud of my senses and body. So by this we can understand that a devotee, although he becomes pure of his sense gratification, after out of humility still he thinks he's proud and he's having sense gratification. Madas, I am mad because of this sense gratification. And I am taking shelter of you. This is humility of Lord Brahma. He takes shelter of Krishna. He teaches us that the more pure you become, the less you think you are pure. And you think you are still contaminated. Because in front of absolute purity, you don't feel you are pure. He's absolute purity. He's beyond capture of any intelligence and mind. So in front of that, you think you are what you are. Brahmaji is saying like that. And that is the life of a devotee. In the glorification of Lord Brahma is teaching us how to glorify him, why to glorify him, and he's training us through his prayers that please, every second, every moment of your life, to meditate on these verses, glorify him through your heart, not just by your tongue or by your neck or whatever, by your abdomen, whatever. So learn this and make your life successful. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions, by the way?
Hare Krishna. Yes. Thank you so much, Babuji. A wonderful class. Now I'll open the forum for any questions anybody would like to ask. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Babuji. Thank you so much, Babuji. Very, very wonderful class. That's a question that is related to the class about surrender and the modes of material nature. Krishna says that, you know, the Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. If you take shelter of him, Ma Mevile Prapadyante, Maya Metantarantite. But this mode is so fearful and it's so bewildering. That even, you know, people like Brahma are making such prayers. And also to surrender to the Lord, we can cross over the modes. But we are now so much in the grip of the modes of the material nature. So even surrendering, is it not influenced by that grip? It's like a, you know, catch-22 situation. How can we...
Yeah, this is a good question, and It is answered in Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, yeah, it is answered in Bhagavad Gita also. Third chapter, Arjuna asks the same question. Atha kena prayuktam papam charati keshava. Krishna, why we are forced to do sinful activities, although we know it is difficult to surrender. Although we know things, but still we do sin and we don't surrender. And Krishna says there, he continues his discussion there before that and after that. And Krishna says there, third chapter, I believe 27, 28th verse. Krishna says that, yes, nigraha kim karishyati. I know it's difficult to yourself. I know it's difficult to surrender. You want to surrender, but it's difficult to surrender. But Krishna gives a trick there. Krishna gives indrasya indriya arthe rag dvesha vyavasthitau. This is third chapter, 33rd verse. Indrasya indriya arthe rag dvesha vyavasthitau. Tayor navasham agatau. Tasse paripanthinau. Krishna says, Hey Arjuna, indrasya indriya arthe rag dvesha vyavasthitau. The senses are made for this object in this material world. They're designed. Rag dvesha vyavasthitau, and this vyavasthitau means they are programmed for this attachment. We are programmed. Like for example, if we see a female, we get attracted. If we see a male, we get repulsed. Why don't we get attracted by seeing a monkey or a bull? We don't get attracted. We are attracted by seeing a human form of a female. Or why don't we get repulsed by seeing Taj Mahal? No, we are programmed to see beauty and appreciate that. So there is a, Krishna says we are programmed. It's difficult to overcome. So you're surrendering to me, but still it's difficult to do. But still you're programmed, and because of that program, you can't surrender to me. You leave surrender and then you can advance. So Krishna gives his solution. Teor na vasham agatav. Krishna says, yes, it is indeed difficult, but try to not get involved, get influenced by that program. That's the point. Tayor navasham agatau. Try to take precaution. Precaution is better than cure. That's the point. So if we get involved, we'll get sucked. You can't avoid it. It's impossible. Dhyayato vishyam pumsa sangasteshum jayate. Once you are sucked in that quicksand, you'll not be able to come out. You can take precaution. Once you jump in the river, you get flown by it. Just don't jump. That's all. So that precautions has to be taken. That is why Srila Prabhupada says that be careful. Maya is dangerous. Don't play with her. Be alert at every time. Follow rules and regulations. Drag dvesha vyavasthita, Prabhupada says. Follow rules and regulations. This purport speaks. Although you are following rules and regulations, try to understand, don't try to follow rules and regulations for the sake of rules and regulations. So Prabhupada says there can be royal accidents, there can be accidents even on the royal road. So there are many rules and regulations in scriptures, there are many rules and regulations in devotion. We follow that. Try to understand why we are following that, to get rid of sense gratification. And be careful, take precaution, so then nothing happens. Then our surrender will increase day by day. Suppose if by chance there is some fall down because of our carelessness or whatever, then Krishna says, Tau yasya paripanthino. Krishna says, these lust, anger, greed, these psychological problems in our mind, they are almost like daku, means robbers, they're robbers. They will steal your purity, steal your consciousness away. So you're walking on a devotional path and they're hiding somewhere. They'll come and steal. So but anyway, even if they are there, if you are following my path, I will protect you. Yogakshema vahamyam. I will protect you. Don't worry about that. So point is, if it's happening to us, if it's difficult to advance in devotion, it takes time. But there is some lack in our, somewhere there is some problem in our sincerity. Or even if we are sincere, even if quality of sincerity is perfect, but the quantity is less, every second we have to keep a track on our consciousness. We have to keep a track on our emotions. Where are emotions going? And that's where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, devotion is an art to protect and nurture your emotions, and that we have to track where they are going and the power to do this, because Krishna says jnani no, Krishna says intelligent people also get Bible thought. Power to do this by, will come by holy name, and that is our process. So things seem difficult, of course, but Krishna gives assurance. So although they are difficult, yes, we know we can't do anything. We are so helpless. We fall down. We crawl sometimes. We run sometimes. Then we lie down and we can't walk anything. We are tired on this path. We lose courage. But although we are disappointed from our own side, from my own platform, I'm disappointed. I can't do anything. At the same time, we have so much consolation, so much peace when we think, my master, who is Krishna, he can make impossible possible. And by this faith, we continue our devotion and we are sure that we get perfection in devotional life. We are sincere from our part. How much power we have of the sincerity, the best what we can do. Krishna will do things. Is it okay?
Yes, Chaudhary, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, anybody else has any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Everything is so nice. As you mentioned, having the material body itself is a problem with us. Otherwise, we would have never been here. It's very nice. So nice to hear you from us. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, Prabhu, I can hear you.
Last question about the material modes of nature and all of the things you were mentioning. But then the Krishna gives the answer right there that Mame or Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hi. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yeah. Now I can hear. Please repeat your question. Yeah.
Okay. So on that verse, Mameva Prapadyante Maya Metasaran Kise. So rather than explaining the modes of nature and its power, can you explain the power of surrender and achieving grace of Lord, because the power of surrender has more power than material more of nature.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, it's a nice question. We explain. Krishna says, "Maya me tam taranti te traygunair vishair bhavair evi sarvamidam jagat." That's the also verse in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna says, "Yes, surrender." Krishna says, for us as a conditioned soul, it is almost impossible to cross the modes of nature. It is actually, the word is impossible. The word is really impossible. It is impossible. Because Maya is God. Maya is the energy of God. It is having power of, you leave Maya. What about mind? Krishna says in Bhagavatam 11th canto, Krishna says mind is having power like God. And mind is controlled by material energy, Maya. You can imagine how Maya is so powerful. We can't do anything. In a second, she can confuse anybody. I mean, this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, own left hand, Sundarananda Vinod, whom he glorified by his own pen, own writing. He glorified Anand Vas Sundarananda Vinod, and he wrote on a stone, and he put that stone on a temple wall, on the pillar, in their glorification. Bhaktisiddhanta glorifying them, his own disciple, Sundarananda Vinod, Anand Vasudev. And after that, after he left, they left him. See the power of Maya? So power of Maya is big. But Krishna says, Maya Metam Tarantite. Krishna says, there is a secret by which we can cross power of Maya. And this, Krishna says, Mahatmanas Tupam Partha Devim Prakartam Ashritam. The secret is there is a secret. You can deceive Maya. That's the whole process. Krishna says, I'll teach you how to cheat Maya. Maya is cheating you, fine. But I will tell you how to cheat Maya because I am the greatest cheater. I am the cheater. I have made Maya. Maya means cheating. She is trying to cheat us. They're putting us in illusion. Okay, Krishna says, no problem. You have surrendered to me. Maya is trying to fool you. I will tell you how to fool Maya. And this is secret of devotion. This is devotion. And that is what that verse says. Maya metam tarantite, maameve prapadyante. Whoever surrenders to me, he will cross illusion. Why he will cross illusion? Because if you surrender to me, I will teach you how to cheat Maya. And how does it cheat Maya? So how does he help us understanding what? So what do you mean by cheating Maya? The surrender process is actually cheating Maya. You know how? Why? Because we are surrendering to God. We are using all the things which are made by Maya to distract us in the service of Lord to help us advance. This is what is Yukta Vairagya. If you deeply think about that, Yukta Vairagya means using things which Maya has made to kill us, destroy us, to actually serve God and help us go beyond her. So she has made a knife. We are using the same knife to kill her and go beyond her. That's the point. So this is devotional. This is the art of devotion. This is surrender. Surrender means surrendering your mind, body, and objects in the service of the mind, body, and objects. This is creation of Maya. This is Maya. So we are using the same instruments which Maya uses to distract us. Buddhi, Manaha, and that Krishna says in Gita, Buddhi, Manas, and Indriya. These are the places of lust. These are the places of Maya. So she is using this. Okay, Krishna says, no problem. You use the same thing. Same thing you use. But now you connect to me. You surrender them to me. And I will take care. And I will make sure that she will not be able to do anything. So she is trying to fool you. I will fool her. No problem. You come to me. You give all her things to me. And this is how I train you in that. And if you surrender to me, you will be able to cross Maya. So the point is, that is why devotion is called surrender. There is one word, surrender, to this. In Sri Sampradaya, it is called prapatti. And devotion is also called grace, pushti. In Vala Sampradaya, it's called grace. These are synonyms. And devotion is also called Yukta Vairagya. That is a term given by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Yukta Vairagya means, actually, if you really think about it, it's cheating illusion. Using the same objects of Maya to cross. So this is a beautiful process, Krishna says. This is the process for most intelligent people, surrender. Although it looks simple, surrender to Krishna and he will do everything. But it is the most sophisticated, philosophical, and the most beautiful, most ingenious method which philosophers and jnanis, they cannot think. They cannot think that you can even use Maya to cross Maya. This is funny. This is impossible. How do you do that? But for this, only Krishna can do. That is why we are connected to Krishna. We like Krishna. He is our master. He is everything to us. And that is why we have so much confidence on him. Because Krishna is Krishna. He is the greatest cheater. He can cheat Maya. And that is what is surrender. Surrender means having faith. My master is intelligent. He will be able to do anything. Even if I will not be able to do anything, he will be able to do. Surrender means Krishna, even if I leave you, please don't leave me. Maya metam tarantite. If you surrender to me, this is called surrender. Don't leave me. Because I don't trust on myself, but I trust on you. You are the most intelligent. You will be able to even deceive Maya. And that is what is whole surrender process. And we can cross modes of nature very easily. Prabhupada says in his purpose, devotees can cross material modes of nature very easily by the grace of Krishna. And in fact, Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, devotee, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, by the grace of Lord Krishna, they achieve to a platform of Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa platform. We people who are nonsense, who are almost like Shudras in this Kali Yuga, who are not even qualified, who have not even heard the name religion, who didn't know anything about Gita, we people are given a process by which we can come to platform of Paramahamsa, not just Sannyasi, Paramahamsa. We can remain in that platform. How? By the grace of Krishna. He knows, and that is what is whole process of grace, surrender and bhakti. Is it clear for Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna?
Yes, I'm driving, that's why I'm just like putting on my cell phone on mute.
Okay.
But yeah, it's okay. Thank you very much. Just wanted to kind of mention that, okay, from three modes of material nature and this and that, yes, everything looks very complicated, and it's true. And no matter how much you try to get out, you can't really get out from a mode of nature. I mean, you know, the demigods and them, they also have problems. Get out. Forget about them, even Brahmaji has a problem to get out of there. Once you pick on Krishna, and once you take his hand or his lotus feet, now you can very easily come out with the Maya Metam Pramthi. So I was just trying to say that, you know, the answer, the question, other way around, just the way the Lord wants, because he says, Mameo Prapachyante, Maya Metam Pramthi. You cannot really get out from a point of mode of nature. You can't do that. It's just not possible.
That's Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hare Krishna, are there any other questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dalat Pranam, Shri Prabhupada ki Jai, Guru Maharaj ki Jai, wonderful class. And I just wanted to confirm, Prabhuji, was he able to finish the third one? Because I was not following whether he read the translation.
No.
How much you covered today?
No, I finished third 9123. I finished third. I finished third.
So much, and you know, I really like one part you mentioned. Simple, that Krishna likes to be glorified, and you know, if and so we always want to glorify Krishna as, you know, sadhakas, and it's so easy. Read his books and do chanting, and you know, offer bhoga. There's so many things we can do, and everywhere we're trying to just glorify Krishna. So, you know, he's happy. That is our goal. And once he's happy, then, you know, I think, you know, like other things we're discussing about Maya and all that will, you know, and there was one quote from Srila Prabhupada that was just forgetting, like he was saying, like backside of Krishna is Maya, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we have to be always in front. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very enlightening class, and you know, please come again on the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, Prabhuji, very, very wonderful explanations you gave. I really love the way you took each word and elaborated it so nicely, explained from Srila Prabhupada's word for word meanings, and that really helps. Your class was full of Amrit, you know, Amrit Rasa Swadan. That's how I feel. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Hare,
for making your day so wonderful.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Okay.
Hare Krishna, are there any other questions?
Prabhuji has answered all the questions with such wonderful explanation, and his enthusiasm is very contagious. Reminds me of my earlier days in Krishna consciousness. Very wonderful. Keep it up.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you all devotees bless me, you know, so that I can continue birth after birth, if we take birth here.
So can we end the call here today?
Yeah, Prabhu, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.